tonight, we're taking some weeks and looking at what we call Baptist distinctives and what makes a Baptist a Baptist. And there are eight areas that we call Baptist distinctives. However, I would say, of course, there are more than eight things that we would believe, of course. And then, if you look at the other way, all these things are really encapsulated or included in the first one that we studied last week, because the first one is the authority of Scripture, and that is just simply that our Bible is the Bible that God has given us is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice, and this forms the basis of all of our beliefs, that Scripture is the one and only authoritative source because it's been revealed by God, because we've been given Scripture by God. And this, you know, it seems logical, of course, and you would say, well, of course, we believe the Bible, and yet most denominations don't believe that the way I've said that. Most denominations would add to the Bible, and things would be equal to the Bible. In fact, almost all other denominations would say that there are things that in tradition over the years that they have done for maybe 1,000 years, and so it's equal in importance to the Bible, and yet we would not believe that. If we have a tradition, and we have traditions, they're not, you know, let's say singing all the verses of the hymn or having a mother and daughter banquet, okay, those are traditions we have, but if the Bible was to conflict with one of those, we wouldn't, you know, Baptists would say we wouldn't do that. And so, and I'm kind of being silly there, but I'm saying we don't have traditions that we think are equal with the Bible, if that makes any sense. And then the Catholic Church, of course, believes that some things that they believe traditions supersede the Bible. Where the tradition disagrees with the Bible, then the tradition is correct. Things like purgatory. Well, purgatory is not found in the Bible, of course, but the Catholics would insist that purgatory exists, and so they would say that tradition, even though the Bible doesn't address it, doesn't say there is there. The Bible says there is no. There's only heaven and hell. Then that supersedes the Bible, and so. That's the difference between many, many denominations and beliefs. So the first one, and we're looking at these eight, is the authority of the Scripture. And I won't spend any more time on that because we talked about it last week. And then the one we started last week, the second one, and these are not, well, the first one is in order of importance, but the rest of them are just all grouped together here, not necessarily in order of importance. But the second one is the priesthood of the believer. And I think that we're most familiar with the priests in our society as it applies to the Catholic Church. That's probably what we think of when we think of the word priest. And in the Catholic religion, the priest is the pastor of the church, but he's also much more than that to Catholics. Primarily, Catholics believe that the priest is the mediator between us and God. And so we all know the term confession, where in the Catholic religion, you would go to that man who is the priest, and you confess your sins, and then he's able to absolve your sins. He's able to forgive your sins because he is between you and God. Well, not only does the Bible doesn't teach that and teaches against that. The Bible actually says that there's only one man between us and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And so we do not believe that any man forgives our sin. We pray, as a believer, we can pray directly to God. And so we don't believe. And of course, in the Catholic Church, the priest is much beyond that. And I won't go into it too much. But the priest, actually, every time the priest performs Mass, he is sacrificing Jesus anew. So Jesus has been crucified thousands, maybe millions of times since he actually died 2,000 years ago. And the Catholics believe that the priest does that so that's holding back God's wrath, that Christ has to be crucified every thousands of times a day across the world to hold back God's wrath, because the world is so bad that God is going to destroy humanity if Christ isn't crucified over and over. And yet there's so many scriptures, and we'll go into that, that Christ died once for all, Hebrews says, one time. And so these are the things that the priest does. And of course, it is completely anti-biblical, against the Bible. But that's the second one, then, is the priesthood of the believer. And the Word of God makes it very clear that the believer has direct access to God in all matters of confession and seeking forgiveness, and that no one needs a priest because we are already priests ourselves. When we are saved, we are priests. And 1 Peter 2:5. If anybody's writing down things, they can know. 1 Peter 2:5 distinctly says that. Peter says that in his book there. But this is a very important doctrine, I believe, when witnessing to Catholics, because they need to understand that a priest does not forgive their sins. A priest is not an intermediary between them and God. And I'm sure that it's a very dear doctrine to former Catholics, because it frees their hearts and minds, because they've been taught that only a human priest can hear their sins hear their confessions. And so this is a very important thing to know, that we do, that we believe in the priesthood of the believer, that once someone's saved, they can go directly to God. And that's a very dear doctrine to former Catholics. Baptists don't believe that we came from the Reformation, but Martin Luther, who was the leader of the Protestant Reformation, he's often linked to this concept of priesthood of believers. And Luther challenged the Roman Catholic Church, if you recall, their emphasis on the special role played by the priests. And he insisted, again, as he read his Bible, he saw that that wasn't true. And Luther, as he read his Bible, especially there in Hebrews and the Gospels, he saw that every believer was a priest and had direct access to God. And he didn't call for the elimination of the pastor, but he called for the elimination of this priestly function where the priest forgives our sins. And however, Baptists are not the only ones that believe this. Most Protestant churches would believe that the priest doesn't forgive sins. But Baptists did not come from the Reformation, and Baptists insisted from years and years, of course, before that, that on the basis of the New Testament, that in the individual priesthood of the believer. So according to the Bible, just to emphasize this, every born-again believer has access to God. And I won't read all the verses, but Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Ephesians 2:18. And 1 Timothy 2:5 says very clearly, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And so we need and appreciate other saved people, other believers' prayers for us, but we do not go through a man to pray to God. And so I just want to make that clear. So the first two distinctives that we call Baptist distinctives are authority of the Scripture, and the second would be priesthood of the believer. And I think it's very interesting, as I say, it's kind of technical, but we're learning God's Word, and I think it's very interesting to see how Baptists have gone to Scripture and against all odds have said, and many people have been tortured and killed for the beliefs that I just have read to you, believing that the Bible does not say what I've been taught all my life, so therefore I'm not going to believe this tradition. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And people have met their death for believing that the priest is not the mediator between God and man. And so it's something that we need to appreciate and understand, and really, as I said, understand why we believe things and what it means to be a Baptist. And these are the first two, authority of the Scripture and the priesthood of the believer. So we'll continue this next week, and ushers, if you'll come.